How are we doing? A couple things I want to share with you just while I'm thinking about it. We've got, and Penny will talk about this stuff at the end, but he'll do it in between, like lots of jokes and stuff. So, you know, we'll double duty it here a little bit. We've got Angel Tree kids that need to be adopted. Make sure that before you get out of here today, if you're wanting to get one, go ahead and get them today. If you can, and go ahead and get that stuff and get it on back and all that good stuff, just so that we can go ahead and have that stuff for families ahead of time before they need it for Christmas and that kind of thing. That would be awesome. So make sure you do that. Also, we have this coming weekend, we have Serve Sunday. If you're not familiar with what Serve Sunday is, once every 3 months, we take a Sunday morning and we go and we serve others. We will meet here first. We meet at 9 a.m. There is not two services on Serve Sunday. It is one service time. The service actually lasts about 30 minutes. And we just spend some time worshiping together and being reminded of the mission that God has sent us on. And then we leave to go serve others and be the church in serving others. And so I really encourage you, don't miss out on Serve Sunday. There is something for everybody. Even if you got kids or whatever, we've even got projects that we're doing here at 24, here at the building and on this property. We've purposefully not done any of that stuff on the ones before now because we've wanted this to be about serving others. But sometimes serving others is serving the church. And so we just kind of came to a realization, you know, we really do need to do some things here, and it would be good for us to be the church in doing that together. And so we've got some stuff here. Kids can be a part of some of that kind of stuff, so don't hesitate to be here. But here's what you need to do. You need to sign up, and the sign-ups are out there in the foyer. Make sure you sign up before you leave today on one of the projects. We're just kind of trying to look at what we've got through the week and that kind of thing and make sure we've got everything lined out as we need to. So don't miss those things. Also, Saturday morning, we have an opportunity for you to serve our community in the fact that we've got the Christmas parade. The Pleasant View Christmas parade is Saturday. And the chief of police has asked us if we would help with traffic and that kind of thing up here. If you didn't know, the parade, when it lines up, they line up on this street that's back here beside City Hall that goes up to 41A, and they line up all down that street and kind of snake around and come up their parking lot into our parking lot, and we'll line up everybody back and forth in our parking lot, floats and horses and whatever, you know, so... if you want to come and be a part of that, that would be fantastic because we'll need help with the traffic stuff, but we're also going to do something else. We're going to have the building open so that people can come in and use the restroom. Just looking for some people that would even be willing just to hang out in the building and greet people and talk to them when they come in and out, help them know where the restrooms are, and we're going to have coffee and hot chocolate for them too. So, you know, you'll be able to hand out coffee and hot chocolate. Just, you know, it's silly of us to not take the opportunity to try to serve others in doing this when they're right here on our property. I mean, they're right here. So I want to take that opportunity. And the great thing is we've had a little bit better of a jump on it this year because none of us have ever thought about it before in the past to kind of prepare for it and that kind of thing. And the chief this year hit us up like a month early and was like, hey, are you guys up for helping us? I was like, yeah, man, it's awesome that we know this far in advance. We can, you know, kind of begin talking about this and that kind of thing. So come be a part of that Saturday. That'll be a lot of fun. Be here at 8 in the morning, and the parade starts at 10. So it's really a short amount of time, and I think can have a good impact on our community, that we can show them that we care and that we love them and that kind of stuff. So come and be a part of that. Serve Sunday, Angel Tree Kid, all that kind of stuff. Good stuff going on. A lot of opportunities to serve and that kind of thing. We've been going through Sermon on the Mount. In fact, if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get it out. If you don't have a Bible, our ushers have Bibles. And if you'll throw your hand up and hold it up, if you forgot yours or you don't own one, they will give you one. If you don't own one, you can keep that one. Consider it a gift. We would love for you to take that with you and read it and let God speak to your heart through it. But we're going to Matthew chapter 6 today, where we've been going through Sermon on the Mount. And we're kind of rehashing a quick point at the beginning of this passage that we're reading today that we've already looked at. And so I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on that and move quickly on to another passage that I'm going to look at together, if you will. And The first passage that we're going to look at right here starts in verse 16. It's kind of doing the same thing that we see the passages doing in the beginning of chapter 6, where we see Jesus talking about praying in front of others and doing good deeds in front of others, that they might think great things about us. I don't know if you've ever, if you've ever fallen prey to this. I'm sure we all have at some point in time where we do something in front of somebody else and we're doing it because it's the right thing to do and we want them to think good about us versus if nobody was looking, we probably wouldn't have done it kind of thing. And Jesus is talking about that and he's saying, look, he's like, make sure that your heart's in the right place. Don't be doing these things that are acts of worship and things that God has called us to do so that others would think good things about us. Don't do it to please man. And in ministry, this can be very easily done. You can do ministry, sometimes even as a minister, only because you want people to think good things about you. And the truth is that's not what God's called us to at all. In fact, he's saying, that it completely voids what we're doing when we do that. In fact, he says in every situation that he's talking about through this stuff, that you've already received your reward. And what he's saying there, because he goes on in those passages to say, to do so and to do so with the right heart, you will receive a reward from God eternally. But to do so and do it with the wrong heart, in other words, to please other people, to do it for the wrong reason, then that is your reward and that's all you're getting. So I hope that it worked out for you to please them. And I hope that you got a great pat on the back because there is no eternal reward when that is involved. So kind of same thing here. He gets into verse 16 and we'll just go ahead and read this. And he's talking about fasting. If you don't know what fasting is, it's something that we see throughout scripture that people would do. And it's when they don't eat, they abstain from maybe food. They might sometimes still drink or something. And sometimes there's all kinds of different ways of fasting and that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, basically it was abstaining usually from food for some period of time. And normally when you would have been eating, you would have spent that time in prayer, seeking the Lord or in scripture or whatever kind of a thing. And so it's that idea that, and so as you would be getting hungry throughout the day, in those moments you would be reminded, I'm hungry because I'm fasting, so I need to seek the Lord right now. Spend some time in prayer and seeking him and that kind of thing. And so Jesus, I'm not teaching so much on fasting today as much as the wrong way to do it. And then Jesus kind of talks about that right here. Let's read that. Verse 16. He says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. So this is just like how we pray and do things before other men. And that we would make sure that we would do them in the right frame of mind, that we would do them for the right reason. And he says, truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, this is a temptation for everyone, that no matter what it is, no matter what it's fasting or praying or doing the right thing, whatever it is, doing a good deed. The temptation is that when we do these things, we want to be recognized for it. And I'm guilty of this at times in my life. I recognize this. I'm convicted about this as we've been studying through this for the last several weeks. That in my life, there's times that I want the pat on the back. I want to be noticed kind of thing. I want people to know what the hard work that I've put into something, and we're all guilty of that at times, when we're coming home from a hard day's work and we walk in and, all of a sudden, like, man, we're just like, oh man, what a day, man, I'm so tired. What a long, we want that. Oh, honey, thank you so much for working hard for our family and taking care of us. And you're just the greatest man on earth and blah, 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 blah. We like that, right? Everybody likes a little encouragement. Well, Jesus is saying, specifically with serving him, this is worship. And he says specifically with fasting, because we've already talked through the other two, so I'm not going to rehash a whole lot of that. He's saying, look, if you're going to fast, do so and do it with the right frame of mind. Do it with the right heart. Do it that you would spend time with the Lord. And don't do it that everybody would look at you and go, oh, look at them. Man, they must be fasting. Look at how hungry they look right now, you know? You know that look? I've seen that look on some people's faces in not so recent days. You know, that, you know, they come in and I'm like, oh man, yeah. they just got that look like they are starving to death. They're staring at your food. You know, it's like you're eating in front of them and they're like, man, that sure does look good right there, doesn't it? You know, and be like, yeah, are you hungry? Yeah, oh man, I'm hungry. You know, kind of like, yeah, Jesus is saying, don't do that. Don't look all disheveled. Don't look like all crazy faced, right? What's he say? He says that you might be seen by others. Don't be like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. In other words, there is nothing coming eternally from God. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. So in other words, you know, and this goes for anything. If we're gonna follow the Lord, even in tough moments, we can't do so in such a way where we're trying to draw pity from everybody else because of the sacrifice that we're making personally to God. It's suddenly not a sacrifice personally to God the moment that we start doing that. We're suddenly looking for something else, and God's just saying, look, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What Jesus is doing in this passage, starting at the very beginning of chapter 6 on, and Nathan brought this point up, I thought this was a really good point, is that really he's talking about, you know, with all of this, all the way through the Lord's Prayer, through these things that Jesus is talking about, he's giving us like an ethics of what it looks like to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. And if you think about that for just a minute, you know, I mean, really, you just think back over all these things. What Jesus is doing is he's trying to right some wrongs. You know, these people, they had been taught and it had lived out in front of them from people that were like their pastors, their spiritual leaders, if you will, that had lived lives in certain ways that led them to believe that they should do things like this. They should pray to receive accolades, that they would have some great and glorious prayer with big words and all of this kind of stuff and look well educated. You know, Jesus is talking against that. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. Same thing he says about the good deeds. Same thing he says about the fasting. He's saying, look, he's like, don't fall into sin while trying to do something that could potentially and should be glorifying God. Seems very simple. And if you look at the overall, I mean, even if you look at the Lord's Prayer, you'll see this posture that is all about God and who He is. You know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us. You know, and so, you know, all throughout, what you're seeing is you're seeing this prayer that basically is screaming, God, I need you. I need you. And for us, that's important for us because we're, like it or not, we get to thinking pretty good of ourselves sometimes. We get to thinking pretty good about our abilities and we start flowing through life just kind of doing it on our own. You know, I've got this ability, we're just going to do it on our own. And what ends up happening is we start to rely on ourselves and we quit relying and trusting in God. That's not what God wants us to do and it's not what we need to do. A citizen of the kingdom is somebody that's humble and needy and faithful. Humble, needy, and faithful. That's not somebody that's got it all figured out. You think you got it all figured out? You got your life planned out? Got it all figured out? God is looking for us to come with a spirit of humility, that we would be ready for His leading. You know, one of the greatest falls of so many of us is oftentimes that we come up with some kind of system for how our life works. And so once we get a system, there's nothing wrong with being organized and all that kind of stuff. That's good. But if we're not careful, we begin to worship the system and we can't disrupt the system. The system's working. We don't want to let anything monkey with it. We can't let anything mess with it. You know, it's got to be X, Y, and Z all the time. And the truth is that God's looking at us. Jesus is looking and he's saying, look, just be faithful. You know what that means? That means that he may say to us sometime, you know, the system's not going to work here. We need to change this or we need to change that. Today I want you to do this. Let me ask you a question. If you felt like God was leading you to do something tomorrow that was different than the plans that you had for tomorrow, would you do it? Or are you married to a system? The Pharisees had kind of left these examples that Jesus kind of had to come along and debunk. And part of that example was how they treated earthly treasures. And we see Jesus begin to talk about that in verse 19. In fact, verse 19, we kind of switch gears. But really, again, it's all in the same frame of mind of what Jesus is talking about here. It's like, hey, you've been taught these things, but, you know, this is not how you live. This is how you live. This is for the kingdom of God. So in verse 19, Jesus gets hardcore and he says this. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in to steal. Moth and rust destroying, by the way, that is an understanding that they knew exactly what Jesus was meaning, because what Jesus was talking about was he was talking about cloth and precious metals. Moth eats cloth, rust gets metal, right? And so what Jesus was speaking to was he was speaking to two of the things that were most valued in the ancient world, which were cloth and precious metals. So when he says where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, he's talking to things that he knows that they love too much. In verse 20, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where, and this is huge, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to be real honest with yourself. I want you to be really honest with yourself. Because I'll be honest with you. It's going to do you no good to sit here today if you're not honest with the answer to this question with yourself. And here's the question. Where is your treasure? Maybe to help you answer that, where is your passion? What are you passionate about? What is it in this world that you think about more than anything else? Where is your heart? All kinds of answers, I'm sure, to that question in this room today. The truth of that question is it leads us to an understanding of where our treasure is. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The studying of this scripture this week kind of really hit home. As Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, I was up kind of working on some stuff, and at midnight, a little after midnight, my phone rings, and it's a friend of mine, and he knew I would be up, and he said, hey man, I'm sorry to call you late, but I knew you'd be up, and I said, you're right, and he said, you know, hey, are you in town? And I said, yeah, I'm in town. I said, we're having our family over at our house tomorrow. And he said, okay. He said, well, he said, we're not. He said, we're out of town. We're with family right now. We're about 5 hours away. And he said, man, I'll just be honest with you. He said, I didn't know who else to call. He said, I especially didn't know who else would be up. But even some other people that might normally call, they're out of town. I need somebody to go to my house. I said, okay, is everything okay? And he said, well, the alarm company called and my alarm's going off. And I said, okay. I said, what's the deal? He said, well, I don't know. He said, the police are supposed to go check it out. He said, I'm really concerned that they may not, like, do a full walk around the house kind of thing. We've got the fenced-in backyard, and there's a gate, and, you know, you got to go through that gate. He said, I don't know if they'll do all that or not. I don't know how they do, you know, those things. He said, but I would feel so much better if somebody I knew would just go down there and eyeball it and call me on the phone and tell me what's up, you know, make sure everything's okay. He said, it may just be something, set it off, whatever. He said, just want to know. And I said, I understand, man. I understand. It's cool. I said, yeah, I'll go. I said, I'll do it. So I get ready to go. Of course, pack up a couple of guns and, you know, all that good stuff. I got a carry permit, so it's all good. And I go ride down to Nashville where he lives. little ways away. And I get there, pull up in the driveway, and there's some lights on in the house. And we didn't talk about if he left lights on or not. So I don't know anything really about what's going on. But, you know, I've kind of got that, like, iffy feeling, you know, of like, man, what if something's really going on here? What if I'm about to step into something? And so I kind of get all my stuff together, and I get ready to get out of the car, and I'm all prepared, except for the fact that I realize I don't have a flashlight. And that was really awesome in that moment. But go ahead and get out. And got a gun here. You know, we're ready to go. And, you know, I walk around. He's already coached me through, you know, walking around the side of the house and going through this gate. And so I do all this. And man, I get to this gate. And it takes me like 2 minutes to figure out this crazy gate because it's got some crazy, stupid latch on it. And it's like spring-loaded here and spring-loaded and how it opens. And apparently you got to like pull or push while you're doing this. And I don't know that. And it takes me forever. Finally, I get through the gate. And I go into the backyard. And his dog's supposed to be in the backyard. And I get back there, and there's no dog. I don't see the dog. And I'm like, oh, man, that's kind of weird. You know, the dog's not back here. And this is a dog that would be, you know, jumping on you and greeting you and that kind of thing. And so, I mean, at this point, I'm a little freaked. And so I go ahead and I pull my gun here, and I've got it, and I'm ready to go. And as I'm coming around the back of the house, I'm thinking, you know, I don't have one in the chamber. And so I go ahead and I rack it, you know, once, which doesn't happen very often in my life. And I'm like, if somebody's coming at me and they want to get me, I'm going to shoot them. And I don't want to have to do anything else between now and the time that I need to shoot. And so I'm ready to go. And I come around back to the house and I get around to the back of his house. And he's got this little deck. And I get around to the bottom of the deck and I'm looking up at his back door. And as I look up at his back door, it's open by about that far. And I'm like, oh, crap. And I got my gun, and I'm thinking, man, I ought to go in there. I'm like, wait a minute. And then right about that time, this guy comes walking through the door, and he's got, no, that part doesn't happen. Okay. But the door is open. The door is open. So I'll give you that. So I have to throw that in there. But I get back there. I'm looking at it. I'm like, you know, I'm not crazy enough to go inside the house. The police are supposed to be coming. I was like, I'm going to let them do their job. And, you know, I feel pretty confident that I could go sweep in a house. I've watched enough movies and stuff, but I'm by myself. You know, if I had Jeff Crow with me, maybe it'd be a little bit different. We probably would have gone in together. I don't know. But, you know, I get there and I was like, you know, I'm going to go back to the car and I'm just going to wait. So I get back to the gate. Takes me like 30 seconds, which feels like 3 hours to get through the gate again because of these stupid latches and stuff. And finally, I get back through the gate and I get back to the car and I sit there in the car and I lock the doors, you know. And I got my gun in my hand and I'm on my phone, you know. And I call my buddy and I'm like, dude, you need to call your alarm company and tell them to call the police or you need to call the police or something. Your back door's open, man. I hate to tell you that. I don't know what's going on, but you know, we need to do something. And he's like, okay, dude, are you okay? I said, yeah, dude, I'm in my car with the doors locked and I have my gun in my hand and it's cocked and ready to roll. Yeah, I'm ready to go. And he's like, okay, all right. You know, so, you know, finally the police show up and it's three Metro police officers and man, they're awesome. They're really, really cool. And, very apologetic. They couldn't get there before. And I was like, that's all good. You know, I kind of brief them on what's going on. And they go in, go around the back of the house, and they go in the house and kind of sweep the house. And, you know, they come out the front door and have me come in. And I call my buddy. And as I'm walking in the door with him on the phone, I'm just looking and I just see like drawers pulled out and just stuff just kind of thrown around. And I'm like, oh, man, I hate this. I hate this for my friend. I hate this for his family. But I've been studying this passage and thinking to myself, how crazy is it? You know, this is the week of my life that I get to go to my friend's house when he's been robbed. And I'm studying on this passage that talks about where thieves break in and steal and laying up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. I'm just reminded how much we love stuff, you know? Just reminded of how much we fall in love with the things of this world and how big a deal we make out of them as our treasure, you know? And Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He goes on in verse 22. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? This is, you know, kind of that garbage in, garbage out kind of thing, you know, that we've heard before. And I think it's so important for us to recognize, like, what gets our eye? What is the thing that our eyes begin to focus on, that our hearts begin to focus on? Because that's what happens in this world. And just so you know, as I'm teaching this morning, I just want you to know I'm in conviction city all over the place. As I've been studying through this, praying through this, thinking about this, I'm there 100%. Our eyes fixate on the things of this world, and they become the things that we treasure the most. And sometimes they're not even things that we have. And we've become a people that can't be content, you know? Like, we think we need more, right? Like we need a lot of what we got right now. And because of this, it's wrecking our lives as believers. It's wrecking our lives as believers because our hearts and eyes are so fixated on other things other than the kingdom and God's glory that we're sacrificing ourselves to that. We've given up. I've watched people give up personal ministry to work longer hours. I don't have time anymore. I can't do that anymore. I can't serve Jesus anymore because I can't, because we're doing this and we got this going on. You know, Chris, we're in a hard time right now. I hear you. I understand. I get that. But there's a difference between working hard and providing for our families, and there's a difference between letting something become our treasure and it absolutely wrecking everything in its path that was good for the kingdom of God, that we would seek after that. And that's hard to hear. It's hard to be honest with ourselves about. But here's the truth, folks. We gotta be honest with ourselves about this. This is the downfall of so many people that call themselves Christians. So many people that call themselves Christians, but yet, what, don't have time to serve others? I'm not just talking about Sunday mornings. I'm talking about with our lives. Remember what I asked just a little while ago? If God tomorrow led you, put somebody in front of you that needed you, and you know, it's not a part of the plan, it's not a part of the system, but they need you, and you may not think it's a big deal, and you think, well, they'll find somebody else. Will they find somebody else that will love them like Jesus loved them? Is that not the point in our lives? Can we not lay the systems aside in moments like that? We have to be careful what our eyes are getting fixated on. Here's the truth. Not just material things. It's not just material things. This can be done with anything in this world. And most of the time, it's done with things that are good things, you know? It's done with things that are good things. I mean, something that you love. I mean, and I've been there. I remember there was a moment in my life when I loved baseball so much that it was that way for me. You know, I treasured the sport of baseball more than anything else. I remember other times it was other things, you know? And I mean, it can even be people. It can be our family. We can take something as sacred and as good as our family, and we can treasure them more than we treasure Jesus, to the point that we go, you know what, I have only enough time to be with them, which is some of this other is mixed in there with that usually, to the point that I will not be in biblical community with anybody else. I'm just going to be with my family all the time. And that's a selfishness and a narcissistic thing that gets in our way of doing and being the people of God that He's called us to be. You go, Chris, are you saying that God doesn't want me? Now, you know I'm not saying God doesn't want you to love your family. Crazy. Don't even turn that up like that. God has called us all to be great, godly husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, friends, you name it. And a part of that is that we would place him number one, and that we would show our kids what that looks like, that we would show our family what that looks like. Verse 24, Jesus keeps going as if he hadn't said enough. And he says this, he says, no one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. I don't know how much more clear Jesus can get. He just puts it out there. And here's the deal. We look at that and we go, well, Chris, I wish we just had some money right now in the bank account, or we're struggling and get those things, understand those things. But we still have to watch ourselves. Because if we're not careful, the thing that we begin to treasure most is paying off the mortgage. It's getting ahead. If only we got a raise, if only these things would happen, everything would be okay. It will not. That's a lie. And it's from Satan and the pit of hell. We have to treasure Jesus. He's the only thing that's going to give us peace. He's the only thing that's going to get rid of the worry in our life. Don't you want to get rid of that? Don't you want to be rid of that? That's coming up in Sermon on the Mount, by the way. It's not, we're right up on it. Like it's next thing up. Jesus knows what he's doing, okay? He's got it all lined up. If we're not careful, our eyes get so fixated on the things of this world, whatever they may be. A title, a relationship, a job, money, possessions, you fill in your own blank, whatever it is that you struggle with, that if we're not careful, we will love those things and be devoted to them, and we will either hate or despise God himself because we know that we're doing the wrong thing. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be there. God wants to use us for his kingdom. There's eternal stuff going on. And that's what Jesus is coming and saying. He's saying, look, there's eternal stuff going on. There's kingdom stuff going on. Don't fall into the trap that is this world over this stuff. There's bigger stuff at play. Spiritual treasure. I'll give you just a few here. Spiritual treasure looks like things like this, like holiness of character, obedience to God, those that we've led to the Lord. When was the last time that you got to share Jesus with somebody? You say, well, Chris, I don't feel comfortable talking about God to people. You know how people are. Remember what Jesus said? What's he say? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me ask you a question. If somebody comes and they ask you about something that you are passionate about it, like you love it, you love that thing. Maybe it's a hobby, maybe it's a sport, maybe it's a team, maybe it's I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it's the ability to do something well, and you know how to do it, and in your mind, you probably know how to do it better than anybody on the planet, or you know more about it than anybody on the planet. If I come and I ask you a question about that thing, you know what you're going to do? You are going to rattle my ears off, right? About that thing. Why? Because you're passionate about it. Because it's a treasure. Because where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And so if we treasure Jesus, If we treasure what he's done, the work on the cross, defeating death through the resurrection, living this perfect life, then would we not be able to rattle somebody's ear off about Jesus if they come and ask us something about him? Other spiritual treasures are, what about those that we've discipled? Who are you discipling right now in your life? Who are you making a disciple of right now? You may be going, Chris, I think somebody needs to make a disciple of me. I hear that so many times. Let me ask you a question. Did somebody not lead you to the Lord at some point in time? Did somebody not show you what Jesus looked like at some point in time and share the truth of the gospel with you at some time that God didn't use that to change your life? Somebody has discipled you in some way, shape, or form. Now, is it like, are you, you know, a level 5 disciple on the book of Henry Blackaby's greatest hits or something? Maybe not. So, you know what the best part of making disciples is? Is that while we're making disciples, we're being made disciples. We got to get out of our head that any kind of education or any kind of experience is what's going to take us to some spiritual level. Those are things that the world likes to use against us. God wants us to make disciples. When we die, what are they going to say about us? The last thing I had on the spiritual treasure list was, and this is just stuff I come up with, that we would have given glory to God while we were here. If we die, if you die today, you go, oh, Chris, I don't want to think about that. Well, I'm just telling you, you got to think about it. All right, here we go. So you die today. Ready? Good. And we're at your funeral this week. What am I going to talk about? What are we going to talk about at your funeral? Are we going to talk about how you glorified Jesus with your life? Because that is our purpose. Are we going to talk about, man, they were so good at getting stuff. Man, if we went over to their house right now, in fact, we're going to have an after party after the funeral. We're going to go over to their house. They got all kinds of stuff over there. It's amazing the stuff they got. We're going to go over there. We're going to enjoy it. They're going to want us to enjoy their stuff since they are gone. And then we're just going to give a bunch of it away. Everybody ready to go? Oh, yeah, let's get the funeral done with. Right? We got to watch what our eyes are getting consumed with because our hearts are going there too. I don't watch many TV shows. I watch a couple, really. One of them is a show that I followed. I don't know how I got to watching it, but I got to watching it early on in the first season of the show. I think it's in like season 5 or something now. It's called Gold Rush. And you've probably heard me talk about it before at some point if you've been around. But I think I'm fascinated with this show because I watched that first season, and in the very first, I kind of bought in, and now I feel like, I don't know, like I want to know how they're doing. Like I care all of a sudden that they're going to do okay, that they're going to make it. Because the first season of this show was basically about a group of guys who basically just decide they've all lost jobs and they're not doing well financially, and they just decide to go all in, get some equipment together, and talk somebody that has a gold claim up in Alaska somewhere into letting them come and just gold mine. And they were clueless. They didn't have a clue what they were doing. And they, you know, finally they learned to like bring in a couple of guys here or there that knew about certain parts of that process and helped them, you know, to do it. And, you know, they had this big goal and they don't meet the goal the first season. I mean, it's this real big Debbie Downer. And then they're back for season 2. And season 2, they're doing it and they know so much more. And of course, they've been on TV at this point, so they got everybody has a clue, I guess, probably speaking into their ear. And they go back and they, in this season, man, they kill it. And they make like $1 million or something crazy, you know, in gold. And the thing, you know, I've watched that show so much. I watched an episode recently, and one of the funny things that I've noticed is that a lot of these guys that do the gold mining, they do not sell the gold. How in the world they keep the operation going, not selling the gold, I have no idea, other than Maybe it's the TV money or something at this point. But, you know, they're so like into the like, you know, gold's the only safe investment. You never know what the dollar's going to do and all that kind of stuff that they're like literally just stacking up gold, I guess. And so in this particular situation, you know, I watched one episode and he goes and he's going to, and this guy that normally will not sell the gold is having to sell some gold so he can buy a piece of equipment because one of their pieces of equipment broke and they don't have any money. So they got to do it. And so he goes to the guy and the guy's going to smelt the gold, you know, in this, you know, crazy kiln deal and, you know, all that. And when he gets it so like red hot and everything, he pours it into this deal and turns this gold dust into a gold bar. And he gets the bar out and he lets the guy hold it for a minute that, you know, has mined all this gold. He lets him hold it for me. He's like, there's the gold. You know, there's what you're going to sell me. You know, let's go weigh it and all this stuff. But like before they go weigh, like he's holding it and he starts petting it like it's a cat or something, you know? And he's like rubbing it. And he's like you can tell, like he's got this like crazed look in his eye. And the dude that smelled the gold, he looks at him. He's like, dude, You got gold fever, don't you? And he's like, look how pretty the color is. That's what he says, actual quote, you know? And I'm like, dude, let up a little bit, all right? That's what we do. You may say, Chris, I don't care about gold. I don't have any possessions I really care that much about. That's okay. The truth is this, is that we make treasure out of all kinds of different things in this world. And if it's anything other than Jesus, we're missing the boat. Because what happens is that we're putting all of our investment, all of our time and all of our energy, and unfortunately all of our hearts into whatever that is, thinking that that's going to make us happy. That stuff always lets us down. Have you ever walked into a job that 6 months or a year later after you got the job that you actually were like, man, this is exactly what I thought it was going to be. Man, this is amazing. It doesn't happen, does it? Because life is hard. And sometimes it's about us suffering for Jesus. We may want to make it about everything else other than ourselves and other than things like where our treasure is, but the truth is that sometimes our treasure is just wanting to be happy. And we're so into trying to be happy or comfortable or safe that we're doing all these things to try to make that happen that we think are going to make that happen. And the truth is we just keep getting let down. This is a great thing to remember as we approach the Christmas season in a time of the year when so many of us are saying things like, oh, keep the Christ in Christmas, you know, kind of thing, you know. We'll say that, but the truth is we're doing like what a comedian I just heard recently said that does not know the Lord, and he was very clear. He said, you know, I don't know Jesus. This is his words. He said, I don't know Jesus, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't materialistic, and we have taken his birthday and turned it into something completely the opposite of Jesus. He's making a joke out of it, but it's true. I mean, how much time will we actually focus on that? And it's just a challenge. I'm convicted with you, okay? I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching at me, if anything. Here's a little question maybe to help you kind of check your heart a little bit. Do you work harder than you used to? Do you work more hours than you used to? Are you serving God like you used to? Because here's what I'm afraid we're doing. I'm afraid that we're selling out. That we don't have time to serve Jesus. Because we've got to work harder, making more money, so that we can have more stuff. And you go, Chris, it's not so I can have more stuff, so I can pay my stuff off. Okay, be faithful with doing that, but be very careful that that's not your treasure. Because Jesus put it out there. We can't serve two masters. We know we can't serve two masters. And oftentimes we're giving into this. And in America, especially in America, I mean, we are sold every day that we need more. If only I had more of a house. If only I had a better car. I've been there, and I'm still there some days. We have got to be careful. If only I had that job. If only I had that relationship. If only this situation was better. Your happiness cannot be based on circumstances. It has to be found in the gospel. It has to be found in the truth of who Christ is, or you're just going to continue to be disappointed. Let me talk to you, 24 Church, for just a second. If you're not a part of 24 Church, I mean, you can still listen in, but I want to kind of talk to 24 for just a second. We're going to be putting some challenges out in the next several weeks, couple, few months, of some things that I think God is really leading us to do as a church. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's going to take a lot of hard work on a lot of people's parts. It's not something that the staff can do or the deacons can do as a whole, and just it'll be done. It's going to be something that we as a church, we have to come behind, and that we've got to be willing to sacrifice together. We've got to be willing to work hard together, that we'll see the reasoning for things together. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do, if you don't mind. I'm going to ask every person, I don't care who you are or how you got here, I'm going to ask every person that is a part of 24 to pray and seek the Lord that He would lead them in what it looks like for them to be a part of the body of Christ. There's some exciting things ahead, but they will not come without sacrifice. They will not come without hard work, and they will not come sometimes without being uncomfortable. But I'm here to tell you, they are things that are not things that we will lay up here, but they are treasures in heaven. And I want to run after that stuff. Man, I want to be about that stuff. I want to be a part of a church that is leading people to Jesus. I want to be a part of a church that is discipling people, making disciples, that we would make each other stronger in the body of Christ. That we would challenge one another with the gospel, that we would encourage one another when we need to be encouraged, that we would minister to one another when we need to be ministered to. Here's the deal. Either we can be complacent and we can just stay where we are and we can continue to put in a couple of ads on the front of the local paper and hoping for the new people to show up as they come in town, or we can be about the mission of God. And I want to be about the mission of God. And I ask that you would be praying about being a part of that too. There's no lone wolves in this. It's us together kind of thing. We are not permanent residents of this world. We are sojourners. We're renters. And anything that we think that we're doing to get past this thing, pay off that mortgage, that's a false hope. We'll pay off that mortgage and one day we will die. You're like, Chris, man, that's hard, you know, but it's the truth. And we've got ourselves somehow believing that if we'll do that, we'll be happy. And that's a lie and we know it. Jesus is saying, I'm putting stuff in your hands while you're here. Use it for my glory. Whether it's the money, whether it's the possessions, whether it's the home, use it for my glory. He gives and He takes away whenever He wants to. It's all His. You could get home and your house be ransacked by the time you get there today. And that makes us cringe to think about it. You know, I was so grateful that my friend, when I called him on the phone, I was like, I'm standing in his house and I'm describing what's happened to it. And he said, man, it's okay. It's just stuff. I said, man, I know that's hard to say. I said, I'm sorry, that, you know, this is happening. What do we treasure? What's got our eye? Are we putting people before God? Are we putting stuff before God, a position, anything else? Because I'm just going to tell you, you won't be happy. You won't be happy. Lay that stuff down. Enjoy that stuff. God has told us in His Word we can. We are to enjoy the things that He is allowing us to use. But it's all His. We're just managers. We're renters. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is our heart chasing after? You might be hearing all this today and you might be thinking, you know, that's some really heavy stuff. But it sounds like somewhere in there that there's like this piece of amazing peace that is found if you know Jesus as your Savior. And there is. There is. But I'll just tell you, if you're not a Christian and you're here today and you've seen Christians struggle with a lot of this stuff in the past, it's because we're human and we still fall into sin at times and we still fall into worshiping other things even though Jesus is our Savior. And I'm here to tell you today that if you're not a Christian, then what God did through His Son on the cross, He did for every one of us. And He did it for you. And He wants to forgive you and He wants you to know Him. He wants to have a relationship with you and He wants to forgive you of all your sin. And you may have not known that you needed to be forgiven of sin today, but I'm here to tell you today that we've all fallen short of the glory of God and that we all need Jesus to save us. We all need the blood of the cross. He took our place in death that we wouldn't have to pay that debt, that we might have life beyond this place. So that when we're done being sojourners here, we can go on to the treasure in heaven. I'm praying that God would do a work in your heart, whether you're a believer or whether you're not. Praying that if you're not a believer, that God would save you today. It's been my prayer all morning. I'll continue to pray for it. Let's pray together for it.